No, really. What are friends for? Friends are for bitching about champagne problems. I'm Paula V. Sastry.
And I'm Paula V's best friend, Gabrielle Ruiz. I'm a champagne problem for you, aren't I?
I don't know if I would call you a problem, but we definitely like to talk about our champagne problems like they're problems, but then we revel in said problems. So it's like a flex and a fucked just by the conversation at hand. Do you know what I mean?
Right. It's a double entendre. Mm-hmm. Or like an onomatopoeia. No, it's not.
I guess champagne in a way can be an onomatopoeia, right? Because it's such a luxe word.
It's delicious too. Welcome to the program, everyone. We're so happy you're here. We have a returning WaFamBam today that I'm so excited to bring on. Not just yet, because we have our first segment.
Hey, friends, go on and flex.
All right. I want to go first on flex. You ready?
I'm ready.
Only you and maybe Hari would appreciate this one. Mm-hmm. I found your Tupperware.
You did? Like, literally, I just gasped. I'm so excited.
I found your fucking Tupperware. And I gave up. Like, I was like, I know exactly which Tupperware you're talking about. I really agree that you didn't take it with you that day. I have no clue where it is. And if it was a snake today, it would have bitten me. I found it.
I'm so happy and proud of you, you know. You know what's funny is, like, I took all that food over there that day thinking to myself, I may never see this again. And
the food?
Well, no, the Tupperware. Because I knew that I was walking into a situation where you were unpacking and I was like, yeah, this may not ever come back. But yeah, honestly, exactly, like, I sort of set myself up for stuff like that because I love cooking for people. So I'm okay with it.
Oh, I love you cooking for us. For sure. Mm-hmm. So I found the Tupperware and then I was like, now it's really going to be a gag if I find the lid. And I found the lid.
Oh, okay.
Just so everyone knows, this is glass Tupperware. This is not like, you know, Target brand. This is 30 plus age flex. Okay. This is friend flex peak.
Yeah, you know, I really thought I was going to be hoodwinked for a second there because I thought you were going to tell me you don't have the lid, you just have the Tupperware, but you do have the lid. Okay, good.
No, that's a major flex. Do you want to go with your flex?
Yes, I can talk about my flex. If you don't mind, though, I actually have like sort of a flex and then I have a plug that I sort of want to talk about because this episode is premiering later in our season. And so I want to plug that this documentary that I've poured my heart and soul into, so much blood, sweat, and tears, is premiering in New York City on December 9th. It's called Invisible, and we're at the Tribeca Screening Room. And so if you're in New York and you're listening to this right now, please come and see us on December 9th if you're in town. and also, we are going to be hopefully very soon releasing the virtual streaming situation. So I'm just really freaking proud of that movie.
I'm flexing for you right over here.
Thank you so much. My flex actually was that I was also in New York last month, last week, to wrap a TV show that I'm on that I'm hopefully going to be able to talk about more soon. But the real flex about that is that for those who are not in the industry, when you're on a show as a recurring character, they want you to look the same, right? So I scored a freaking free haircut, like two free haircuts out of this gig, and I'm living for it.
Flex.
That's also, I want to say, like a 30 something plus maybe flex, I'm into it. Yeah.
Well, I'm so happy for you. What was fucked up for me was this week I thought I could embrace something I extremely hate, and I was proven wrong that I still hate it, and that's Halloween.
And
as a new parent, I decided to, like, you know, maybe like, let's be, you know, let's establish some new traditions. And I got invited, the whole family got invited to this like costume party, which was kind of PR-ish. Okay. So like, let's go, let's collab, let's tag, you know? And luckily enough, my friend Sophia was handing down a fantastic set of a Family Flintstone costume. And I actually got dressed up and I actually put Spanx on and a strapless bra and looked like Velma Flintstone Philip actually.
You looked fierce.
I looked great, didn't I? I did.
You did.
I looked pretty, and I had to even put on concealer, and I got ready. You know, Philip took care of Mercedes, and I got ready, and it felt great. And then Philip was like, "Sure, I'll be Fred. Can I wear pants?" I was like, "Yeah, you can wear pants." And then we got Merc ready. Couldn't find a bone barrette, but I digress. With a white bow, it was fine. And then I'm on the toilet, like, one more time before we leave. And I'm like, let me check the details just for the 10th time. And I'm like, yeah, it's all good. And then I check the mommy blogger that invited us. And I'm seeing, like, if she's posting any, like, here comes the party, right? She's like, who's coming tomorrow to the party?
I'm sorry. I'm laughing at your fucked. I'm sorry.
Because I hate Halloween.
I know but you know what though, this is like this is like the thing that happens to you often that I think is actually kind of cute, because you're so excited about things and then you're early to them, like
that happens to me a lot.
I think I can count on my hand that I'm like, this is the third time I can recall that this
when
is-
give me two more go.
I can think of one for sure, and then the other one I think is one was like when I was supposed to come over and help you with a self-tape and you were 3 days early. She's about to spit out
you
her
caught
water.
Me in mid-gulp. No, that was a live Zoom callback.
Right.
And we were like, you know, pump it up. Dun, 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 dun. Dun, dun, dun. Like, get ready to get out of the gates. This is your one shot, and I'm ready, and they're late, and I'm in the waiting room, and we're waiting, and I email my agent. I'm like, hey, should I keep waiting? They're like, it's not till next week.
Yeah, and then the other time,
right,
I think
right.
you plan to come over to my house either a day early or a weekend early for Mina's last birthday party.
I don't remember that one. But now I believe you. Well, I hate Halloween, and it still stands. It still stands. I really hate Halloween.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm, carry on. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Your turn.
Okay. So my fucked is that I said no to a lot of theater like this week. And I think the fucked part about it is that I want to be empowered by the fact that I had that choice, but it's still like taking me some time to get over it. And I think I finally figured it out. It's because I felt like I wasn't welcome in that world for so long, then now it feels like it's not completely in my control to say no to it. You know, it's like the circumstances of it is what I have to say no to. And I am choosing my family for that. But like, part of me is like, I couldn't say yes to the thing. And you know, does that make sense what I'm saying?
I mean, it's fucked for you, and I don't need to reason it for sure. Mm-hmm.
So I'm just kind of like struggling with this idea of like being in a situation where I can say no to work, but it's like this passion thing that I wasn't really given the choice to say yes to in the past. That's what I'm struggling with.
And you still feel like you can't say yes because you still want to do it?
Well, I don't want to say because of my circumstances, I would prefer being with my family on the West Coast is what I'm saying. You know what I mean? So that's why I said no, but I didn't say no because I didn't want to do the project. Like, the work would have been really meaningful, but the circumstances,
the timing
suck.
Is fucked.
Correct. Correct. So that's a very, I would say, champagne problem.
Ah, it's fucked. It's fine. Let's welcome back our WAFAM family member here. We're so excited to have online creator and founder of No More Lonely Friends, Marissa Mize.
Hi, how's it going? Woo-hoo. I'm so excited to be back.
We're so happy you're here.
Yeah, so good to see you. I feel like you just always look so camera ready. Like, to me, every time I see a picture of you, I was like, why is she like always looking fly?
As I woke like, up today, I was like, bleh.
No, I think you always look fly.
I think it's the headphones. Honestly, I wear these headphones everywhere because you can't look bad in them. I don't know what it's wrong with it, but you just can't look bad in over-the-head headphones. Like, you just put it on, everyone's like, oh, she has her life together. She has over-the-head headphones. So that's that.
In New York, I walked around and didn't even play anything with my Beats, like my 2008 Beats.
That's the best part, though. You do that so no one talks to you. Like, I'm not trying to have someone be like, you know, and then they go, what are you listening to? But I'm like, not you. What?
You're like,
sorry, I can't hear you. I'm going to keep walking. Thank you.
That's the best about New York, just ignoring people. It's so great. I love that part about New York.
Exactly.
Well, we are so happy to keep extending our Hey Friend, Go On and Flex. But we, with you, Marissa, want to have a, before we get into No More Lonely Friends, I want to hear you talking about yourself, personal stuff, you know, because last time we spoke, we just got to know you and this, you know, incredible beginning of the movement. I can't wait to get into the year after, you know, 12 months now, maybe 14 months since the last time we spoke. I talk in months now because I'm a parent. But I want to hear, what is flexed and fucked for you on a personal level? Go on, girl.
A personal level, I feel like flex, and it's just like an everyday thing, just surviving in New York. I don't even have like a personal, like, this is going great for me. Oh, I just went to Europe for 2 months. That was great.
So glad you brought that up.
That was great.
I am so glad we were hoping.
That was great.
I even have the notes. If she talks about her Europe trip.
That's a flex.
Flex. Yeah, that was my flex for sure. Fucked is trying to find a Manhattan apartment. I'm trying to find a new apartment by now, and it's just not it. Like, you can't. It is impossible. And when I tell, like.
Are the landlords like, we got you now?
It's funny because, like, trying to find a place in New York is like a joke. It's just like a constant joke people talk about. But on top of that, it's just so, you are either going to live in a 20 square foot apartment or you're going to fork out $2,000 a month. Like, there's no in between. And it's just so, or you're going to have six roommates. So it's just ridiculous. And it's a little frustrating. And you just feel like it's never ending. And when the photos look great, something's wrong in person. You know something's wrong in person. If that place has been on the market for more than 3 hours, I'm not even kidding you. 3 hours, if it's been more than, then there's something wrong with it. Because it gets rented out within a few hours, for sure.
Yeah. I remember one time when we were trying to rent an apartment, we walked in, and then on the other side of the bathroom was the next apartment next door.
Kind of like a hotel suite.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was like, you mean this apartment can get into this bathroom if they wanted? Like, that.
There's shared bathrooms. There's like I just looked at one this morning, and you have to walk through the other person's bedroom to get to the other bedroom.
Railroad style.
Like, what are we, I know, when railroad.
They are so stupid. They really, really are. Don't miss it. Tell that bitch, New York, I said, hey.
I will.
But I want to go back to the flex. Like, did you have to fight for this flex? Is this like a first big vacation? Was it a solo journey? Like, you know, go in. Tell me.
So I went to Europe for 2 months in the beginning of this year, from February to like April something. It was like mid-February to mid-April. And I went, and I was actually going because I got evicted from my apartment in New York. So I was like, okay, I have nowhere to go. Might as well, I'm not paying rent. Might as well just do that, right? And I spent so much less money there because I had a bunch of friends I stayed with. It was great. That was just like a solo, like, let me get out of here and just live, and went to a few different places. But I was staying with some friends, so I didn't have to like spend a bunch of money. This time was just me going to go and visit places. I had to pay for everything, you know, pay for places to stay and stuff like that. But I went by myself, and then I either met up with people along the way or different people that I've met or whatever. So it was really great. Yeah.
And was this like a just for you, or like, did you feel, or was there any pressure / agenda with No More Lonely Friends? Like, were you doing any work while you were there?
So I was not working. I was actually really stoked to be able to do a kind of brand deal while I was there. I was doing some work for a travel company, so I got to film some videos while I was there. I made a pact to myself when I turned 21 that I was going to go to Oktoberfest, and it was COVID. So I didn't get to go. And then, or on my 21st birthday, I didn't get to go. And then my 22nd birthday, COVID hit, and I was like, great. And then, no, what? What year is this? Oh my God. No, 23rd birthday. Jeez, I'm off. Okay, anyway.
I know.
Basically just didn't go. I was too broke when I was living in LA, and I was like, okay, whatever. So then when I went to go, COVID hit, and I was like, great. So I moved, and then I was like, okay, this is the first year it's back up. Let's do this thing. So I was going for Oktoberfest, but I was like, okay, I'm going to make a trip out of this. What? So I met up with some friends along the way. I was kind of just solo traveling, but bounced around. Some different people were there at the same time. It seemed like everyone was in Europe this summer, apparently. So that was cool. I got to see some people, meet some people, but it was a really cool thing. And I basically got paid to go, which was dope.
I'm so glad you got to do that. That's fierce. That is like level up. And also just using the amount of work that you have put into this movement and the hours upon hours and the building upon building out of the explosion and the launch, which is the last time we spoke, where I gathered, even after listening to the edited episode and then listening it again once it was live, everyone go check it out in our last season. It's the beginning of No More Lonely Friends. And this is now like the recap, because to me, from my point of view, I felt overwhelmed for you. I felt the moment when you talked, you were coming up for air and like these big breaths, you took a lot of big breaths. You know what I mean? It wasn't like more than you. It didn't feel that way. It just felt like you were like holding on and like buckling up and being like, this is happening. And like, whether I'm into it or not right now, it's happening.
Yeah.
Does that feel like it? Yeah.
It was kind of crazy. Yeah, because I agree. Seeing now this year, I legit no sleep till dawn last year. Like, I never slept. I never took time for myself. I never really did anything, but it was all worth it because I love, you know, doing it. And No More Lonely Friends was my literal child and still is. So it's just really cool. I thought last year, if I don't pump these out every single weekend, to a weekend in different states, I'm going to become irrelevant.
The meetup.
Yeah. And I felt like I was just going to like fall off really quickly and it wasn't going to get across and people were just going to be like, oh, whatever. She's never coming to my city, you know? So I got scared and I got like really nervous that people were just going to be like, I don't care, you know? And I'm glad I did it because it was very, you know, it was a lot and it was a lot at once, but it was also really important that I did it quickly so that people grasped onto it and held onto it. In a general sense, I did not have a life last year with that. I was very dedicated for that. And I'm so, so, so thankful I did that because I had so much fun doing it. I met so many great people and I'm still doing the meetups. It just was a really slow, odd year this year. So, but yeah, we're still doing the meetups. We've done a few in New York and then we're doing LA, San Francisco, blah, blah, blah. So it's just really great. And it was such a long time.
Have you multiplied yourself, like leading these meetups?
It's very interesting because when it comes to the meetups, it's not about me being stubborn. It's about comfortability. And a lot of people come to the meetups not knowing anyone, but they know me at least, you know? And so it's kind of more easy for them to be like, okay, at least Marissa will be there. I kind of know her through online, like whatever, at least I know that she'll be there and it won't be just really awkward. Or like, say I do send someone and something happens, you know, you just never know. So I think that I, for right now at least, am trying to establish so that I can make a community behind it for people to other hosts, you know, and I always encourage other people to host, you know, their own stuff or whatever, but it's very different when it comes down to actual No More Lonely Friends meetups. Hi, my name is Marissa Mize from No More Lonely Friends, and you're listening to What Are Friends For podcast.
It's interesting, right? Because like the movement is about, in a lot of ways, like you as a person, as you, as a human, right? So it's like if we were to like look under the hood of the car, so to speak, and like, you know, all this positivity behind you, like, do you feel like you are struggling at all with sort of keeping yourself and the movements like separate, if that makes sense? Do you know what I'm asking? Like, you know, does it always feel like you're on? Is my
yeah
question.
I feel like at the meetups I have a very general attitude, you know. There's a very specific way that I have to act, and it's not like I'm forcing myself to do that at all. I am kind of just genuinely that way in a lot of ways. There are moments that I'm like, you know, maybe that day I don't feel that great, or I had some bad news that morning or something, you know. And there's been meetups that like right before the meetup happens, something goes wrong or someone calls me and I get bad news, but I put on a thing and I'm like, cool, this is my job. Like, this is my thing and I got to keep going. And it is kind of hard sometimes when it comes down to meetups when I feel like people didn't benefit. And when I say that, it's me being harsh on myself, because say, you know, only 50 people showed up. When you hear 50 people, that's a lot of people. But if you put them in a place where no one knows each other and it can be kind of awkward, sometimes it's very, very uncomfortable. And I have to just try to like bounce from group to group, be like, good, 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 good. Are you guys good? Are you guys good? Are you comfortable? Are you good? You know, and it's like that. And I feel sometimes like I let down myself, and that's when I'm hard on myself. When I'm like, then people are like, Marissa, you're like bringing people together. Like just because, you know, it was only 50 people, whatever, blah, 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 you can't be hard. And I'm like, yeah, but like, if I did this better, if I, you know, advertised it better or something, that's when I kind of blend the two, Marissa and No More Lonely Friends. But lately, like especially with New York meetups and stuff, Marissa Mize and No More Lonely Friends is very separate, because the people that started coming don't even know who I am. And I'm like, good. But also, it's also, you know, when it's other meetups in smaller states or like different places that I don't have them every month or whatever, people are like, I am here for you, and you are the one that's going to make everything better. And I'm like, okay, like that's difficult for sure.
I can understand that. I can imagine that. I mean, I have to put on I feel like in the smaller sense of friendship, you know, it's extremely relatable with putting on a different energy with different friend groups or with a solo friend. I mean, Paulie and I, when we're together, I never take pictures.
Yeah, yeah.
And I never post that we're together, and we have to mindfully make reels because I'm 37.
Yeah.
And it's real hard to just make a reel and post it, you know, with the right tags.
Yeah.
And so like for us to actually do it, it's a lot of effort, and it's not us, Paulie. I don't know if you feel the same way.
I agree.
So when we're together, it's like we don't do that. And then when I'm with a group of friends for a birthday at a, you know, without the baby, and it's at a, you know, this amazing outdoor LA place, it's a completely different Gabrielle. So your personas and your, yeah. I guess like your different, what were we going to say, Marissa?
I was going to say that when you say that stuff, and when you say like, oh, I don't take photos or anything, there's like that whole thing about like when you're with someone that you're so comfortable with, you just feel sleepy and tired and you don't want to do a lot of work because you feel at home. When I'm with certain people like that, I'm just like, oh, where's my phone? Oh, it's somewhere around here. Like, I don't know, my phone's somewhere, you know, and it's kind of different between, you feel like you have to be like, oh, we don't see each other that much, let's take some photos, or like, oh, we're out on a nice dinner, you know, and it's kind of that different of like home feeling versus like, oh, we're, you know, here, I guess.
Totally. Yeah. And I wonder, like, you know, and I wonder, when I see all the footage or like, all the posting or any sort of coverage that's happening at your events, I do think to myself, I wonder if she's exhausted halfway through feeling the pressure of having to post about it. You know what I mean? And so like, if there's a wish for you, you know, I hope you do, I hope you are able to multiply yourself just so other people can just do the posting for you. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I hope I can get to that point where I can have like a team. I do not make any money off of No More Lonely Friends currently or before, but I mean, like my hardest thing is when I'm at the meetups, I try to make people feel as comfortable as possible and me feeling very accessible to people. Mm-hmm. So I want that to happen. So when I like bring my camera, I literally forget that I bring it. And I'm like, Marissa, what are you doing? Like, you know, and I'm like, if I could hire a photographer, but my thing is like, I have to pay people with their full rates. Like I can't just do like, you know, discount things. So I'm like, I can't afford that right now or whatever it is, but I will be able to, or XYZ, something will happen. But I'm really hoping that it can be able to be like documented in that way.
Yeah, totally. I hear you.
And then the second step after the meetups, I'm curious, how is the connection with people after the meetups? Is there like a No More Lonely Friends customer service line that people can call and give you feedback?
A lot of people will send me DMs, or they'll just comment straight up. A lot of people email me. There's a Facebook page, like there is a bunch of Facebook, there's like 10 Facebook pages, but I think that the most I get is DMs probably. Like they'll just tell me like, hey, or a friend group that met at my first No More Lonely Friends, they went on a trip to Iceland together like last month, and they were like, oh, this is our 1 year friendiversary trip, like we're in Iceland. I was like, what? Like, what? But it's cool stuff like that where I kind of just see the later effect that I didn't get to see before. And it kind of just be like, Marissa, like, wow, these people are actually friends in real life, you know, and they're really meeting people, and they wouldn't have met these people unless they went to my meetup or whatever it is. So it kind of just reminds me every time someone gives me that, hey, like, by the way, or hey, we're doing this, or, you know, I'm in a few group chats that like friends met up with at the meetups, and then they throw me in the group chat because they're like, oh, Marissa's there. But I always see them making plans together and stuff like that, and it just like sends a single tear down my eye. I'm like, ah, that's so cute.
Oh. Well, speaking of single tier, I mean, I think there's probably more than one tier, but I remember when Gabrielle and I were like just sort of like documenting or cataloging all of your adventures over the last year in prep for the episode. Like, we of course watched your appearance on Drew Barrymore's show. It was like so beautiful, like how there was people in the audience that she had got who you had, you know, really touched them. And, you know, what did she say, Gabrielle? She said something about your story has everything that kind of has the meaning of life wrapped up in one beautiful
wrapped up in
burrito.
One big burrito. Yep. Yeah. So funny.
Yeah. But then it made me think like, oh, okay, Drew Barrymore. But speaking of Drew was the name of the gentleman who posted that original video that started the whole thing. So are you still friends with Drew? What's up with Drew?
So yeah, it's very interesting because we have very separate lives, like very, very separate lives. We would be like, yeah, we're doing this and we're doing that, whatever. And he came to a few meetups and stuff. It was really great. I mean, he is like the nicest person. I feel like our lives are just very opposite. So we just never got to like kind of connect or get together in that way. And we just kind of do it. But we keep up with each other's lives. We respond to each other's stories and TikToks. That's really funny. But otherwise, it's kind of just like a passing of life, you know, it's like a here, there. But we still are big fans of each other.
I love that. And I guess a final question before we go into our lightning round is, how have you changed as a friend in the last year?
I have become much more relaxed in my life, in my friendships, in a lot of my relationships. I am so vocal when it comes to problems and or things that could be better or things that are great, or, you know, texting my friends like, hey, like, I saw this, that you're doing that, like, so proud of you. Like, you know, and it is not hard to do, but it sometimes, you know, you're just not in the headspace where sometimes it's just little tasks like are hard and stuff. And I think I've just been grown to such a more vocal person when I was already before, but I feel like now it's so much more intentional when it comes to friendships, relationships, feelings, anything. I will straight up, and I am not gonna lie, I am a straight up person. I will kind of tell you how it is, and that's how it is. I have gotten a lot better with ending friendships that needed to be ended or just telling some things that aren't going to work out. I have a lot of faith in myself with the friendships that I do have. And I've also, this is the biggest learning thing that I've learned throughout this whole entire process, is that you don't need hundreds of friends. You need a few good ones. And then you have few good acquaintances that you will always be there. You know, they'll always be there for you. You'll always be there for them. But you don't need them to be your best friend. And that has been the biggest learning process and curve that I've ever had in my entire life. I used to feel really lonely before, being like, I only have two or three close friends that I feel like I, you know. And then I was like, I need all of these people to just be really close to me. And then I realized, like, after, like, either I'm sharing too much that I felt like I didn't need to do that, or I'd be like, no, this is really good. And then those people are there cheering me on as I am them. And that's okay. If that's just the whole relationship, that's fine. As long as you're there for them and X, Y, Z, it just, you know, it stays really mutual. But yeah, that was a big learning process that I had to go through.
That's some WAF gold right there. We love that shit. Because we talk about the friendship tier cake, right? Like the tier at the top only has so much space, right?
Mm-hmm.
We love that.
Oh. I love you guys. Thanks. Mm-hmm. Thanks for inviting me back.
Oh, we love you. We're so happy you came back. Thank you for coming back and just doing a catch up.
Oh my gosh, of course.
Oh my gosh,
I'll probably be there in December for a meetup.
Again, when you come to LA, give us a chance. Can we come?
Can we? If you don't come, we'll be offended.
We can actually meet you. We'll be chill. We'll be chill.
Chill.
We'll be chill. Okay. But we're only there to meet you.
That's it. We'll be like, peace out. Thanks so much.
Everyone else, don't talk to me.
Yeah, because, you know, we have our three or four friends. We don't need any. I'm joking.
So funny. They're like, someone walks up, they're like, hi. I'm like, no, thank you.
No, thank you. No, thank you. Where's Marissa?
Like,
Somebody give me Marissa
right
now.
Have you guys seen Marissa? Thanks so much. I'm like hiding in the tree.
I have the hands.
So funny.
Okay, so lightning round. Marissa, you know how this goes. It's changed a tiny bit, but it's still anything that comes to the top of your head. But if you want to expand, it's our show. We can do whatever you want. Talk as long as you want. I don't care.
Lightning round.
First question is, do you believe that friendship is romantic?
Yes. I believe there is a really romantic way to make friendship. I feel like, yes. You know what? I'm just going to go with yes, because there's so many aspects of it that you have to romanticize your friendship for it to work, as in you have to love them at some point. Like, it doesn't have to be, let's make out right now. Go off if you want to, sure. But if you're actually looking at a deeper friendship, there's something that is family core. And I believe that romantic is a word that people look at as like a romantic partner, or, you know, has to be in love, like marry me type romantic. And I think that romantic means so many different things rather than just a relationship between like lovers. You're lovers in some way.
What is your favorite on-screen friendship?
I think The Loft from New Girls. Nick Miller, Schmidt, Winston. Jess, you could throw her in there, sure. But I love that dynamic of that whole apartment. You know, they started dating, so it kind of got a little messy. But I think that whole dynamic of that apartment is like my dream friendship. I love it so much. And they just have so much love for each other. But it's also, they each have such opposite personalities. And I think that is what makes them the best of friends.
Love it. And in one word or hyphen it, what kind of friend are you?
Trusting.
What would you like to do better as a friend?
Being there. It has to, I guess it's kind of hard because it has to do with me as well as like just my life separately, but being more there for people in person.
And then lastly, Marissa, you have answered this before, but we would love to hear it. If it's changed, if it's different, what is it today? What are friends for?
I would say friends are for being your chosen family, and the fact that they have a choice of being there says how much they care, because they could leave at any point, but they don't. And friends are for loving, loyal, trusting when you can't trust anybody else.
Everyone go check out No More Lonely Friends all over the interwebs. Marissa Mize, the leader of the chill, the most coolest, chillest friend for everybody. All we do is we watch you on social media and we just like take notes. We're like, okay, that's what you should do. Okay, got it, get it. So when you said yes to this, when you said yes to my email, I was like, everyone get into it. Get her booked. All right, girl. Well, see you in LA in December.
I'm so excited. I'll email you guys when I have the date.
Sabu, see you soon, girlfriend. Bye.
Bye. Bye, guys.
1, 2, 3, 4. This episode was produced by Team Access Productions and Fast Nickel Inc. and presented by Hoo Ha Ha. Our co-producer is Anna Daneker.
Our consulting producers are Kathleen Cho, Rose Harwood, and Philip Pisanchin.
Head of production is Emily Albright. Digital content director is Susie Cabello. Our digital production assistant is Daniela Heredia Vega.
Our podcast artwork is created by Arshwarya Sukesh. Original music is by Joey Sherman, and special thanks to Hari Savitala and Sarah Khan.
Don't forget to check out the Hoo Ha Ha website to listen to WAF and all things women-led comedy. And as always, please remember to subscribe, rate, and review this podcast wherever you're listening now. This helps our show's visibility and helps us keep making it for you.
And find us on all the socials, Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, and even Twitter at WAF Podcast. That's WAFF Podcast. To find links to our exclusive vodcasts, live shows, shop merch, or even text us, visit WAFpodcast.com.
We truly appreciate you all checking in with us online. But you know that friend that you've been like, I really haven't checked in with them in a while? Go do that.
Yeah, go do that now.